and welcome to the ISIS Pep Talk, Polyethylene and Polypropylene podcast, where I, Catherine Sweeney, will be discussing the European polyolefin situation with ISIS senior editor Linda Naylor. So, Linda, we can see supply easing from tightness in the European polyethylene and polypropylene markets now. But how did the extreme situation arise in the first place?
Well, tightness was caused by several reasons. Firstly, there were many cases of force majeure at both the polymer and monomer level in Europe. But also, we had a lack of imports as Middle Eastern sellers sent material to regions with better netbacks, such as Asia. In quarter one 2015, European prices were the lowest in the world, so Europe just wasn't an attractive option for importers. And the weak euro meant that dollar-based prices were also unattractive for European traders. Also, it meant that exports were very interesting for European producers. And as Europeans weren't buying much, they concluded a lot of export deals that contributed to the market tightness later on. By the time European converters had woken up to the fact that supply was tightening and prices were unlikely to go any lower, it was too late, and by March, prices began to soar. Then, as producers ran plants flat out, they began to fail. Some sources said that the reason that plants failed so much was that they'd only been maintained to run at a capacity of 80 to 85%. So once they started running flat out, there were a lot of mechanical and technical issues. So when they were ramped up, these issues led to a lot of force majeure declarations, probably an unprecedented number. Some sources gauge them to be at around 40. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration, but certainly an unprecedented number of force majeures. There were also similar problems at the cracker. So polyethylene and polypropylene became short, and some high-profile converters were even forced to close lines and import material from other regions, usually from the USA. This was particularly the case in high-density blow molding, when we heard of a very famous shampoo producer having to import bottles from the US, although that might not be true.
Okay, so what has changed now?
Well, in July, we're beginning to see things ease, particularly in the polypropylene market. Some polyethylene grades are still tight, though. Spot prices have come down from record highs, often above 1,700 euros a tonne, and high-density blow moulding and some linear low-density grades are still tight. In fact, a major producer closed its July order books for these grades last Monday, the 13th of July. It's a very early date to start closing your order books in a market that's supposed to be easing. We're also seeing more ethylene and propylene supply, although the situation is by no means long. Spot ethylene for July is still priced above contract, but August has dipped below contract for the first time in many months. The game changer for ethylene, though, which will also affect polyethylene in a big way, is the restart of Shell's massive 900,000 tonne a year cracker at Moerdijk. It went down unplanned in October 2014, and everybody expects it to really affect ethylene supply and prices when it comes back. The naphtha chimie cracker at Lavera, the joint venture partnership between Total and Ineos, is also coming back on stream after its unplanned shutdown in the middle of May, and this will also ease the supply of ethylene for the polyethylene market. This additional ethylene supply, coupled with slower demand for summer, is expected to change the trend in the polyethylene market, and propylene supply is also expected to ease as these crackers get back to normal rates.
Okay, what about polypropylene?
Well, polypropylene hasn't been as tight as polyethylene in June and July, in spite of some force majeures still being in place, and spot prices have fallen back in a more widespread way in this market. Imports are now being heard for August delivery, but there's still some concern from buyers over when they arrive. And we're in a very strange situation where buyers are scared of being caught with having no material, and they're scared of having too much material. Nobody wants to hold any stock in a potentially falling market, so buying is still very much on a hand-to-mouth basis.
So what do you expect for August?
Well, it would be fair to assume that ethylene and propylene contracts will fall. Crude and naphtha have fallen significantly in the past couple of weeks, and monomer supply should ease when the big crackers come back on stream. And any reduction in the monomer contracts will probably be transferred to polyethylene and polypropylene prices, but buyers are likely to be looking for a bigger drop than just the monomer. The spread between the monomer and the polymer at the moment on both polyethylene and polypropylene is very high. It's increased by as much as 300 in the past few months, and cracker margins are very strong. And polyethylene and polypropylene buyers will be wanting some of that action now that supply is easing and imports are being offered into Europe. Some sources do urge a word of caution, however, because plants are getting back to normal. But if they're running at high rates, what's to say there won't be more plants failing in the coming weeks? Producers also say they can carry on exporting easily. If Europeans don't want to buy, they can sell it somewhere else, particularly as the euro has continued to weaken again on the Greek debt issue. So they're fairly relaxed about any potential reduction in demand in summer. So while some sources still talk about the potential for a big price fall in summer, it hasn't happened yet, and buyers of some grades are still paying very high prices for their product.
Great. Well, thank you for explaining that, Linda. Please join us again for the next instalment of the ICIS Pep Talk, or catch up with all the latest news on the ICIS dashboard. For ICIS here in London, I'm Catherine Sweeney.